At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to give you predictions for the upcoming season in the Big 12 Conference. And I promise you, my Big 12 championship game matchup will be one that you have not seen or heard anywhere else. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us. As always, as a part of the show, you know what to do. Subscribe, like the video on YouTube. Same thing on the podcast. The season is right around the corner. Now's the time to make sure you are subscribed, because if you're not, you're going to miss a heck of a lot of content. All right. So thank you guys for being here as always. I will count down my order of standings and how I see the Big 12 finishing from last up to first. Here we go. At number 16, finishing in dead last this year in the Big 12, I'm going with the UCF Knights. I believe Scott Frost can turn this program around. I do not believe it's going to be this year, and I do not believe this year is going to be a good year for Scott Frost 12 conference. So the big thing for me right now when I look at this team and this program is I don't know who the quarterback's going to be, and they have zero proven talent at that position at this level. So that's my biggest uncertainty. And then you talk about lack of experience at places like wide receiver, losing their best defensive player, Lee Hunter, to Texas Tech of all places, nearly 70 new players in the mix. Man, that is going to be a difficult situation for Scott Frost to turn around. He can do it, but it's going to take some time. At number 15 in the Big 12 this year, I'm projecting the West Virginia Mountaineers. Speaking of new players, Rich Rodge bringing in 50 new guys to the portal. And I think this team's going to be tough. Like, I believe that West Virginia is going to be the kind of team that maybe goes 4-8, but they have a lot of 7-10 point losses, games that probably are even closer than the score indicates. And they'll be, or should be, a trendy pick to have a big jump in 2026. But 2025 is going to be a rough year. It will be a foundation-building year for Rich Rodriguez. We're just not going to see it in the win column this year for the West Virginia Mountaineers. So it's going to take some time. They got to rebuild those lines, and that will also determine how quickly this rebuild takes in Morgantown. At number 14, I'm going with the Cincinnati Bearcats. There actually is some love out there for Cincinnati this year, but with Scott Satterfield, I've got to see it to believe it. They start off 5-2 last year, then they totally fall off the cliff. They lose to the competition that is equal or better than them, it seems like. And I think this experiment with Satterfield has one more year left to correct itself. If he can't correct it, well, guess what? It's not going to go well. He won't have a job come 2026. I should say he should not have a job come 2026 if Cincinnati misses a bowl game once again. They do return a lot of players on both sides of the ball, but they need those guys to develop. There's very little you saw last season that made you sit there and say, hey, they're close. If this just happened, if that just happened, there's not a lot of times during the 2024 season I was thinking that for Cincinnati. So barring something unforeseen, I still see them at the bottom of the Big 12 standings this year. At number 13, I've got the Arizona Wildcats. Speaking of coaches who are on a hot seat, Scott Satterfield and Brent Brennan at Arizona at the top of that list. And the good news is that Noah Fifita's back. And if he can gel with new OC Seth Dagey, well, the offense will be much improved at all levels. But the defense, which was brutal last year, needs to take a major step under newly promoted Danny Gonzalez, and they may end up closer in games, but man, they had some blowout losses last year. But I could see this year Arizona losing a lot of like 41-38 kind of games where they're in it, but the defense just can't stop anybody. Like, I could see that being the kind of losses that Arizona has this year, and the record may not be all that different from last season. They'll be much more competitive, but they're still going to end up losing a lot of these games. Next up at number 12 in the Big 12, I'm going with Colorado, coming in at number 12 this season. Now, we all know about the stars that were lost, Shedeur, Travis Hunter, but this is weird because Colorado could finish significantly worse. I think they will finish significantly worse in the standings, but it actually will be a good year for building the program for Coach Prime. They have more depth on both sides of the line of scrimmage. This team, I believe, is going to be better than their record will end up showing, but I see a substantial step back in 2025, especially given the fact that Colorado has one of the toughest schedules in the Big 12 this season. At number 11 in the Big 12, I'm going with Oklahoma State. Now, the last time we saw the Cowboys play football, they were getting smoked by Colorado 52-0 to cap off an 0-9 Big 12 season, the worst in Mike Gundy's coaching career. And as a result, Gundy cleaned house. He's got two new coordinators. He's got a ton of guys through the transfer portal. But you got a new quarterback. You got an offensive line that lost eight players, over 200 starts on that line. This team, to me, is going to be much better at the end of the season than it is at the start. But I don't see how you sit there right now and say, well, Oklahoma State is a team that's going to finish in the top half of the Big 12, unless you're just that big a believer in Mike Gundy. And I'm a big Gundy guy. I love what Mike Gundy has done, putting Oklahoma State football on the map. But I can't just sit here and say, well, Oklahoma State's going to finish seventh in the Big 12 because of Mike Gundy. I mean, I have never seen Mike Gundy coach a team. No one has. He's never done it. That is this many new faces without knowing who his quarterback is going to be. Losing the amount of offensive line starts they had last season. That is a lot of question marks for this Oklahoma State football program. And the Big 12 is too damn competitive to just say, well, Mike Gundy's going to get him there. I just can't do it. I've got him at 11th in the Big 12. At number 10, BYU. I think there will be a step back for BYU as well. You look in the wake of Jake Retzlaff's departure. You know, if you've been following this show, I'm skeptical on what that quarterback situation is going to look like. And while this is always going to be a defense-first team and program, can they be even more reliant on it than they were last year? The best thing going for BYU, by the way, is they have one of the softer schedules in the Big 12. So they could end up going 3-0 to start conference play. They got Colorado, West Virginia, and Arizona. And you might be looking at this team early on and being like, they could be 6-0. Their non-conference is Portland State, Stanford, and East Carolina. But then Utah, Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU. That's a brutal four-game stretch followed by Cincinnati and UCF. So it ends relatively easy as well. But I'm thinking somewhere in that 4-5-ish range for BYU and Big 12 play. Maybe it's 5-4, but somewhere around there feels right for me for the BYU Cougars. At number 9, I got the other Cougars, Houston. I think Houston's going to have one of the biggest jumps in the Big 12 this season. They improved dramatically as last season went along. Year 2 is usually a good year for Willie Fritz as well, based on his history and all the places he's been and had success. But I look at the offense being much better. And last year, it was the offense that held this team back, not the defense. They couldn't figure out the offense to save themselves. The defense was actually pretty solid. This year, for Houston, the questions are on defense. And if the transfers can hit to keep up with last year's unit, if they hit, then watch out. Houston will actually be higher than 9th in the Big 12. If they don't, Houston's going to end up being in a lot of shootouts. It will be like the old school Houston days, you know, when it seemed like every coach that was at Houston prior to the Big 12 was running, you know, spread them out, Texas Tech, all wide, you know, five wide receiver type stuff, and losing games or winning games 56-52, something like that. So that side of the ball, the defensive side, is going to be the one that has more questions at Houston than the offensive side this year. So that's going to be really interesting. At number eight, I'm going with the Kansas Jayhawks. Jalen Daniels needed the first few games last year to knock off the rust, but I think he's ready to return the 2022 form. And he will be overlooked going into this Big 12 season as well. There will be a lot of new faces at the skill position, but there actually is going to be more depth at KU. So Kansas, here's a little tidbit for you on the Jayhawks. Kansas has lost the fewest scholarship players to the transfer portal of any Power Four team the last two seasons. That payoff is going to be evident this year in Lawrence. That's a big deal. That means you're keeping guys in the program. They want to be there. They're staying there, and they're buying in. So I really like where this KU team is right now, and I think there are a lot of positives that we'll see from KU jumping into the top half of the Big 12 standings this season. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Before we get to those top seven teams in the Big 12, subscribe right now to the show. Make sure you are liking it as well. And same thing on the podcast. Drop us that 5-star rating and review. We greatly appreciate you doing that. It does make a big difference, especially as we get set for the start of the upcoming college football season. Can you believe it? Okay, let's go to number seven.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm going with Iowa State at number 7 in the Big 12 this year. I like Rocco Becht. He can be hot or cold, and now he loses 2 top wide receivers to the NFL. Also, the defense has more questions than it's had over the last couple of years. I'm never going to question John Heacock. Their schedule is one of the more favorable in the league. But this trip to Ireland against K-State is a tough way to start the year. A lot of new pieces need to step up for a team that has traditionally started slow. Didn't start slow last year, but has traditionally started slow. So I've got them at 7th. You know, remember, after they got to that Big 12 championship game in the COVID year, they had a step back that was not predicted by a lot of people, myself included. Now, some of that may have been that core group of guys hanging around 1 year too long, but now you're talking about replacing a lot of those key pieces from last year. And I know that you've got a veteran quarterback back, but that's never enough. It can never be just that. And while Iowa State does an amazing job, you guys know, I think Matt Campbell's the best coach in the Big 12, does an amazing job as a developmental program. I sense a step back this year from last season when they reached that Big 12 championship. And the difference between 3rd and 7th in the Big 12 might be like 7-2 versus 6-3, or 6-3 versus 5-4, or 6-3 and 6-3 with a bunch of tiebreakers. You know, like that's how this league is going to go this season. At number 6, I've got the TCU Horned Frogs. I want to roll TCU higher because this offense is going to be tremendous. But I don't know what this defense is going to look like under Andy Avalos. They have got to improve on that side of the ball. And the other hard thing for TCU is they've got one of the more difficult schedules in the Big 12 this season. So that makes it just a very tough situation all around for the Horned Frogs. I wanted to have them in that top 5 because of how highly I think of especially Josh Hoover, who, you know, if you've listened to the show the last couple of weeks, I think he's the best quarterback in the Big 12 going in to the season. But the questions on the defensive side are all over the place. They should be better up front, but boy, I've got to see it first before I pick this team any higher than 6th right now in the Big 12 conference. At number 5, I've got the Kansas State Wildcats. They are a program that is not returning a ton. They return the fewest starters on both sides of the ball of any program I consider to be a contender this year. Can the D-line replace last year's production? Those same questions also exist in the back seven. The offensive line should be competent, even though they lose some key pieces, because it always is in Manhattan. But they've only got four home games. They got that trip to Ireland to open up the season. And Avery Johnson, does he make that jump from athlete to quarterback? Athlete playing quarterback to quarterback playing quarterback. That remains to be seen. I've got Kansas State coming in at fifth in the Big 12 this season. All right, at number four, the Baylor Bears. Baylor comes in at number four this year, and I think they're going to be really good. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to be more of the Baylor we saw the second half of last year versus the Baylor we saw the first half of last year, including that loss to Colorado on a Hail Mary. But, you know, I question the defensive side more than I do the offensive side. I think the offense is going to be great. If you didn't see the news, Dawson Pendergrass, backup running back, is going to be out for the season. Now, Bryson Washington is their stud, but Pendergrass was a really good player. The good news is they've got a lot of depth at that position, so that's not like the reason I'm putting them down at fourth. But, you know, with Dave Aranda and this team, it's been the defense, especially last year, that hampered them. And, you know, it doesn't start easy. They've got Auburn, then they've got SMU. They've got arguably one of, if not the hardest, non-conference in the Big 12. And I know that doesn't mean anything for the Big 12 standings, but it can wear you out early in the season. There's no, like, ramp-it-up moment for Baylor, especially when you've got Arizona State in your first Big 12 game on September 20th. Now, you get them in Waco. That's the good news. But you got to play Arizona State to open up the Big 12 season. Then it's Oklahoma State on the road. Then it's Kansas State. Then it's TCU. I mean, the first half of this schedule for Baylor is pretty brutal before that first bye week. So that in and of itself leads me to believe that Baylor is one of those teams that can absolutely get there, but the schedule may hold them back. The back half of the schedule is much easier for Baylor. Cincinnati, UCF, Utah, Arizona, Houston. Four of those five should be winnable games, but still, it's tough sledding there. So I'm putting Baylor at number four. Next up, at number three, I've got Arizona State. The defending champs will be in the mix. All right. I mean, we know how good Kenny Dillingham has it right now. And there's no doubt you lose a guy like Cam Scataboo, that hurts, right? No one's saying it doesn't. No one's suggesting that Arizona State is going to easily replace Cam Scataboo. However, I will say they have a lot of depth at that position. I'm more worried about, not worried, but I think more about his leadership than I do just his skill set. Like, I think they're going to be fine at the skill positions at Arizona State. They got a bunch of guys returning. They've got incredible talent up and down this program. And you look at a team that is poised for long-term success, it's Arizona State. The only thing I'm thinking about for Arizona State is how do they handle being the hunter to the hunted? I do think there's a transition there. I do think that's something that's real and that can flip a couple of games either way. So Arizona State's going to be right there, I think, in the thick of the Big 12 title race for the entire season. And we're talking about a game or a tiebreaker here or there. Don't forget last year, what, four teams finished 7-2 in the Big 12, and then it's tiebreakers that decided who made the Big 12 championship game. So Arizona State could be right in that mix. But there's a moment or two this season that will decide the season for the Sun Devils. And that sentiment of going from the hunter to the hunted is real. And how you adjust to that remains to be seen for Kenny Dillingham in this program. Everything I've seen from Kenny Dillingham suggests he's well prepared. But his players, that's a different story, right? But he's got 17 returning starters, and there's a lot to like in Tempe this season. At number two in the Big 12, I'm going with the Utah Utes. I see a big bounce back for Utah this season. They've got an offensive line that is absolutely loaded, led by two guys that are likely to be first-round picks in the NFL draft next year. They are doing the model that you're seeing at places like Oklahoma. Bring in a quarterback via the portal. Bring in his offensive coordinator. In this case, bring in one of his key weapons as well and try to make it all work. Utah has, when you stack it up, one of the best offensive-defensive line combos in the entire Big 12. And they lost a lot of close games last year despite the fact that they were on their fifth-string quarterback. Okay? So you think about that. You think about the fact that they can finally move on and not think about Cam Rising anymore, God bless him. But relying on a guy that was that injury prone was probably a disaster in hindsight, and it turned out to be last season. And now this team is poised to make a huge jump in 2025. So I am really high on this Utah team. I think that this is a team that is poised and ready to take that leap. Last year, of course, they were picked to win the Big 12, and they obviously came up colossally short. So it's one of those deals that I'm looking at this Utah team and saying to myself, man, I like the schedule makeup. I like the fact that they've got five home games. I like 17 returning starters. I love the offensive line. And I'm buying in on Utah making a huge jump this year in the Big 12. And that would mean, atop the Big 12 standings, I've got the Texas Tech Red Raiders. That's right. I'm buying in, baby. I am all in on the Texas Tech Red Raiders having a huge season under the number one transfer portal class in the Big 12, led by Joy McGuire, and leading this program to Arlington, to a Big 12 championship, and announcing to all of college football, the Red Raiders are here, and they are here to stay. This team has the most talent at the top end of any team in the Big 12 Conference. They are returning their quarterback in Baron Morton. I think that's a very underrated part of this Texas Tech team gelling quickly and early on. Having Baron Morton back, not going the portal route at that position, was key and will play a big role in how this season plays out. Because it's much easier to develop the pieces around the quarterback on the offense. It's much easier to develop other pieces on the defensive side than it is to say, here's a new quarterback with all new guys in a brand new system. Baron Morton is poised to have a huge year, succeed, and lead Texas Tech to a Big 12 championship. And you look at Texas Tech's schedule, based on the rankings, they've got the easiest schedule in the Big 12 when all is said and done. That will play a big role in a Big 12 that can be decided by a game here or a game there. And here's a tidbit for you. I went back in the last five seasons in the Big 12. Eight of the 10 teams that have played for a Big 12 championship had five home games in conference play. Only two teams in the last 5 years out of 10 in the Big 12 had four home games in league play and made it to a conference championship. They were Arizona State last year, who had four home games, and then Kansas State back in 22, they had four home games as well. The other eight, going back to 2020, have had five Big 12 home games. Texas Tech has five. Texas Tech has four Big 12 home games, but seven overall home games. Four in the Big 12, seven overall. Utah has five home games. So here's a couple of the things that I considered and why I'm picking Texas Tech against Utah and why I think they'll finish 1-2 in the Big 12. They're in the top three when it comes to most returning starters in the Big 12 in terms of guys who have started at the Power 4 level. They're both in the top three. And then the other thing I like is I go through offensive line and defensive line rankings, and I average those out. I like to do that. You can do that through any model you want. I happen to like the Phil Steele model, right? And the Texas Tech and Utah offensive and defensive lines averaged out to be the best in the Big 12. Now, there are other programs that have really good O-lines and D-lines, but those two stood above the rest. So I've got the most returning starters. I've got the strongest teams averaged out on both sides of the line. And I've got a couple of more home games combined with easier strength of schedules. And that leads me to picking Texas Tech and Utah atop the Big 12 standings this year with the Red Raiders going all the way and reaching the college football playoff. But what's fascinating, and one of the reasons I tried to talk myself out of this, is that they play each other on September 20th. That game is in Salt Lake City. So here's the thing. That's a really tough road matchup for Texas Tech. However, if you're Tech, you want to get Utah early in the season because Dampier may be still figuring some things out. That will be his first game against Big 12 competition. That's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a big moment for Utah. Now, that home field is going to be going nuts in Salt Lake City. But I think what we'll get in the Big 12 championship is a rematch of that September 20th game between Texas Tech and Utah in Arlington in early December. So there you go. That's what I've got in the Big 12 standings this year. I'll count them down from 16 to 1. Here we go. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. At number 16, I've got UCF. At number 15, I've got West Virginia. 14th, I'm coming in with Cincinnati. 13th, I've got Arizona. Number 12 is Colorado. Number 11 is Oklahoma State. Number 10 is BYU. Number 9 is Houston. Top half of the Big 12 standings, I'm predicting Kansas at 8, Iowa State at 7, TCU at 6, K-State at 5, Baylor at 4, Arizona State at 3, the Big 12 championship game, Texas Tech versus Utah, with the Red Raiders taking the cake, with all that talent, and going to the college football playoff. There you go. So you can tell me where I'm wrong. I know you're ripping me all over the comments right now. Don't worry. I can take it. I'm a big boy. Now, a lot of you are saying that Texas Tech is going to be the biggest bust in the Big 12. Trust me, it's possible. It's possible they crash and burn. I'm not saying it isn't. But you know as well as I do, this league is impossible to predict. I feel good about, I feel as good as I can. But I'm the guy who's been saying for 8 months that you can make the case for half this league to win the conference. So if I didn't pick your team, nothing personal. It's just the reality of how wide open this year is. And that's why, with this year being so wide open, I tried to pick a couple of key metrics. I said, give me the returning starters number, give me the strength of schedule, home games, and then offensive defensive line. That's what I want to know. And I do like Utah's model that you're seeing in other places as well, where you bring in the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. And you know that Utah's going to have the strong defense. So you combine those things for Utah. There's a lot to like there. And then you add into the fact that I just think Texas Tech has so much talent. And Joe McGuire, I think his actual high school coaching roots may help him bring together guys who have really not spent any time together before this season because there's so many new faces. And we're not talking just like backups. We're talking key starters at key positions through the transfer portal class. I actually think that his high school acumen may be beneficial in making this team gel and having these guys come together. And that's why I'm starting to buy in and obviously am fully 100% in on what the Red Raiders are doing this year in the Big 12 conference. I can't wait to see how it plays out. All right? It's going to be big time. So we've got some K-State fans who understandably are upset. We got one here. Let's see. Robert says, Tech doesn't even know the names of the players. They're going to get their butt kicked by Avery Johnson. Maybe he can score 7 touchdowns this year. Well, you know, I suppose we'll see. They get each other in early November. That game is in Manhattan. But if you're a K-State fan, you know, listen, K-State, by K-State standards, is going to be fairly reliant on some key transfer players as well, right? I mean, they've got, what, 10 returners between both sides of the ball? So they're going to have a lot of new faces, not maybe as obviously transfer portal heavy as what Texas Tech has, that's going to be few and far between. But man, that the Texas Tech talent at the top end is frankly above anybody else in the Big 12 right now. So if you're trying to project the Big 12, part of my thinking too is don't overthink this. This team has more talent than we've seen from a Big 12 team since Texas left a couple of years ago and since Oklahoma and its heyday prior to that. So just roll with them, man, especially when their strength of schedule is one of the easier strength of schedules in the entire Big 12. All right, so that's where I'm at. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We're glad that you're here as always. Whether I picked your team or not, okay, you know and I know, we're just doing our best here to try to figure out what is going to be the wildest conference in college football. Please make sure you are subscribed. We appreciate you as always. We've got college football in the Big 12 in less than 2 weeks. And drop us that 5-star rating and review on the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo. We're heartlandcollegesports.com. And make sure you hop on the forums as well. We'll be talking Big 12 football there at heartlandcollegesports.com. Have a great day.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.